Okay, I'm going to hand you over now to Fabia Mosca Goretta, who was in town last week, and she got some interviews from the Joint Housing Conference, which was held in Dublin Castle last Saturday. So we'll have a listen to those. I'll hand you over now to Flavia.
I'm John Bissett. I'm part of Housing Action Now.
What was today's forum about?
Today was the second kind of session or meeting with all sorts of different groups to try and clarify and work out what the issues and demands are from a kind of grassroots or ground level in relation to the housing crisis in Ireland. What we did was we had six different workshops on six different facets of the housing crisis: public housing, homelessness, private rented sector, traveller accommodation, direct provision, and the mortgage crisis. So they were the kind of workshops we ran, and in each of those workshops, I was in two of them today. So I think what surprised me was the kind of going into things at a little bit of a deeper level in relation to responding to what the state puts out, for instance, in relation to how it sees the housing crisis being tackled. And almost everybody here today would disagree with how the state is proposing to deal with that issue, and they have come up with a whole range of suggestions and solutions, some quite novel, some creative, some practical, to deal with that crisis today.
In a few months there's going to be a general election. Do you have any plans, or are you planning to put pressure on?
I think our idea is to get our thinking clear. That's our idea. So we don't know what a new government is going to look like. It could be worse than the one we have now, for instance. It could be better, and hopefully there will be more of an openness to financing and funding public housing, for instance, to beginning to really deal with the crisis. But I think what we're trying to do today is to say that there's a bit of thinking behind the activism, and to try and get a little bit clearer about what it is that we're for. And I think we did some good work today in relation to that. The idea now is to put it together and to begin to distribute that information and to communicate it out to people.
Then what is next, going back to the communities?
Yeah, I think one of the questions is, how do we disseminate and distribute what we've got from today, and how do we test it with people, in the sense of that there are going to be kind of detailed disagreements between people, for instance, in relation to private rented. But at a broad level, what we were trying to work out is what are the messages, and to begin to be able to speak to that, for instance, in the public sphere, and to say these are the key issues that have come out of a series of conversations. And I think what we will find out is whether they're generally agreeable in the public domain with different people. We know there's going to be disagreements, but our real issue is that there's a massive need, and that need needs to be dealt with.
And finally, next steps now?
Well, we've already planned a session on the 30th of January here in Liberty Hall, and the idea behind that is that we've done the thinking on the kind of positions in relation to what the issues mean, and now we want to say is, okay, we've got a kind of good deal of clarity around them, how do we make them happen? So the January session is really around saying how do we actualise, or how do we bring to fruition the proposals, suggestions, ideas that people have. And we know that's going to be a struggle, because we live in a very neoliberal state. So I think that's the next challenge for us, in terms of moving from kind of ideas to action, or combining both of them.
I'm Phil Maher. I work with You're Not Alone, helping the homeless in Dame Street.
And how is the situation on the street at the moment?
The situation on the street is critical at the moment, especially with the weather now being really cold. There is no facilities for our homeless to go into. They have a certain amount of beds, and if they have to wait till 10:30 in the evening, and they ring, and if they're not lucky enough to get a bed, they get a sleeping bag. They get kicked and moved on, or peed on, or set on fire on the street. We go out three nights a week. We go out Tuesday, Friday and Sunday. On any average night, we'd have up to 140 people, and that's three nights a week. And on a Sunday night, you would have over 200. You can go to our page, which is Your Not Alone page, Dame Street, and you will see the figures. We have a counter, we use this not to say, oh, we're great people, look what we're doing, but to keep track of the amount of people coming to the super runs. Since I started, and I'm since before last March, it has gotten constantly worse. People are going into B&Bs. They get no supper because they have to pay for their meals during the day when they're out. So they don't have. So they'll come to a super run maybe just to get food for the kids. More homeless dying on the street and more often. And the beds that the, our so-called government put in place, they took away on the sly. So there isn't as many beds. They're saying they opened a new hostel in Thomas Street, and that's brilliant. But they need to be upgrading the other hostels and looking after the homeless. What good is a hostel that you can only go, or a place you can only go into at after half ten or 11 o'clock at night and have to leave at 7 in the morning? What do you do for the rest of the day in this weather?
What needs to be done?
What needs to be done is there needs to be facilities for the homeless where they, when they have to come out of the hostels or the B&Bs, they need to be able to go somewhere where they can get food at a reduced price or for a voucher or for something, because they can't afford to feed, have three meals a day in a restaurant, a normal everyday restaurant. It's not possible to do. They have to still clothe their kids, they still have bus fares to bring their children back and forth to school. So how do the Sligo government expect people to do this on less than €200 a week?
So you were in the private renting workshop, and what are the issues for you?
It's very expensive. It's quite hard to find anywhere at the moment. I'm okay because I've been in the same place for 3 years. But, you know, if I had to move suddenly, it would be really difficult. I'm lucky in that I can go back to live with my parents if I really needed to, because they don't live too far away. They live in the suburb, like a further suburb of Dublin, where I could get in and out in an hour. Well, I could get into town in an hour, and I do work in town. I really don't want to do that though, because, I mean, I'm way too old to live with my parents. Just personal reasons, I don't want to live with my parents. I have had housemates who can't do that. Like, their parents live in other sides of the country, or they live in different countries, and it's a lot. I kind of feel lucky in that, you know, I'm not as stressed sometimes as they are, but it's still a stress. A while ago, I think it would have been in maybe June, it was during the summer, my rent was raised, and it was raised by what would have worked out at €50 per month for each person in our house, the way it is. So I don't know what the percentages were. We buy a lot, and we had to argue with them, so we got it down a little bit, but that was obviously very, very annoying, and they only gave us a month's notice, and that was way too short a time to make a decision on whether we'd stay and pay, and it's also way too short a time to find a new house to live, way too short. Like, I don't know what world these people are living in when they think that's okay. In a way, there's this rent freeze thing that people are talking about, where it's going to be 2 years rent freeze. So I'm kind of laughing at my landlord now for raising it a few months before that, because they can't raise it now for another year. But then I am worried that they might try and say that one of their family wants to move into the house. I wouldn't put it past them. We've had a lot of issues with our house, the conditions of it. Like, there's been problems with the house, and they don't send someone who can fix it properly. Like, there was a leak in our ceiling. They sent a guy who wasn't a plumber. He was good at painting walls. That's all he was good at. It took us a year to get that fixed.
Can you phone the landlord and complain?
We can't. We have a letting agent. So the problem with a letting agent, and I've lived in a few places with letting agents, is they have a person that they want who will fix things, and they have a contract with some maintenance people. And I mean, in theory, that's fine. I can understand why they do that. But what can happen is, if something breaks on the weekend, or if something serious happens on the weekend, your phone and the letting agents, they're all on holidays or they're all at home, and you can't even get through to an emergency. So I've done things where I've called someone to fix things on the weekend because we need it fixed, and on Monday morning morning we get an angry phone call from the letting agent. So I can't phone my landlord. I found out her address only because I felt like I was going to have to contact her about the leak in the ceiling, and I kind of did a bit of my own investigation, and that's the only way I found out any contact details for her, but it's all through letting agents.
And another issue, you are asked to provide references. Has it been an issue for you?
You don't have my name, so I can say I lied through my teeth about all of those things. I have done, tried to do it legitimately, like I have got past landlord references before, but I moved into the house I'm living in when I was only working 1 or 2 days a week, and the rest of the time I was on social welfare, so I was part-time on social. My two housemates were on full-time social. We all lied. We all said we had full-time jobs. We got our friends to be our references. I don't think they phoned any of our references at all. And then landlord references, I know people who have lied about them too. So it's ridiculous that they I don't know why they expect people to tell the truth if they're going to be that weird about it all. You know, why do they not expect people to lie? If you don't have them, I would say you just, they won't even contact you back, I'd say, you know, because there's so many people go to look at any house and they won't even probably tell you, sorry, not this time. They won't even contact you to say, you know, if you don't have a reference.
And what would be your solution for this situation?
I don't know. I suppose more legislation is always good, but then as well there can be legislation and people don't know about their rights, so people need to know about their rights more. I think one of the things that was suggested in that group I was just, the workshop I was just in, was there need to be people who can help people, who help tenants who are in trouble. There needs to be someone who can sit down and explain to them, this is actually what your rights are, and all the rights are written in this very, very complicated language. So people need to be more aware of their rights. Their rights need to be more accessible, like the language needs to be more accessible. The legislation obviously does need to change. More houses would be great, but that's going to take a long time to sort out. You have to actually physically build them. I also think there should be a little bit, there's a lot of derelict empty houses around Dublin, and there should be a lot more pressure on the people who own those houses to fix them up and make them livable.